Today is Thursday, February 13th. We're talking about everything today from why the U.S. Attorney General will be in the hot seat on Capitol Hill to why a major global conference was just canceled, plus a mysterious signal in space explaining the emoji kitchen and the Netflix free movie offer. Then hang out after the news for Thing to Know Thursday's bonus interview. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. There are new concerns the Justice Department has become too political. So the top guy, Attorney General William Barr, will testify about it on Capitol Hill next month. The Hill reports Democrats on the House Judiciary Committee asked for this testimony. They say they're worried President Trump is pressuring Barr and other prosecutors to get his way, mixing politics and prosecutions. Democrats call it a danger to the criminal justice system and our democracy, and feel Trump is looking for retribution after the impeachment trial. Remember, this is in response to what happened this week with the criminal case of Trump's longtime friend, Roger Stone. The four prosecutors recommended 7 to 9 years in prison for Stone's crimes. But after President Trump's tweet calling it unfair, Justice Department authorities stepped in and lowered the recommendation, prompting all four prosecutors to quit the case, seemingly in protest. Now, ultimately, Roger Stone's fate is up to a judge. And a department spokesperson says the decision to step in was made before Trump's tweet, so the two are not connected. Some Republicans have said Trump probably should not have commented on the case, but they still don't feel he actually interfered. While others backed Trump even more, saying it seems more like a communication problem within the Justice Department. Either way, Barr has agreed to testify about this on March 31st, to be continued. Another Democrat has dropped out of the race for president. Former Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick ended his campaign yesterday. Politico reports he did not even get 1% of the vote in this week's New Hampshire primary, so he's out. With him gone, there are no longer any African Americans in the race, and only one candidate of color in this race, that's Representative Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii. And by the way, there was a record turnout at the New Hampshire primary this week. ABC News reports Democrats cast more than 300,000 ballots, breaking the record set back in 2008. Though, keep in mind, the New York Times points out, the state also has a growing voting age population. Just when we thought there was some reassuring news that the number of coronavirus cases was going down for a couple of days, that changed big time. The AP reports the number of deaths in the Chinese province where the outbreak started more than doubled within a day, while the total number of cases there went up too. So now a shakeup in the leadership. China just replaced its top officials in the central province of Hubei and its capital, Wuhan. Worldwide, CNN says more than 60,000 people have gotten sick now, though most of those are in China. The total cases in the U.S. went up just one recently to 14 total, but that American was evacuated from China and has been quarantined. There are other consequences of the coronavirus, or now as it's called, COVID-19. For example, the world's largest smartphone conference just got canceled. Mobile World Congress was supposed to happen later this month in Barcelona, but organizers pulled the plug after major companies like Amazon and Sony started dropping out. Business Insider reports the companies don't want their employees traveling since the virus is spreading quickly. And the company Under Armour is also taking a hit. Reports say the athletic clothing company thinks it might lose $50 million in sales, at least in part because of Chinese factories currently shut down. A mysterious object in space is confusing scientists with its signals. The signals are coming from a galaxy 500 million light years away. CBS News reports researchers thought the series of fast radio bursts were happening randomly, but now they appear to be in regular intervals every 16 days. Experts say it's probably not aliens. The object could be orbiting a black hole, sending signals at a certain point in its orbit, or something similar. They'll continue to study this in the hopes of finding out more. All right, we have more news ahead, but first, a quick break for our sponsor this week, Rothy's. If you're not familiar, Rothy's makes stylish shoes for women and girls out of recycled plastic water bottles. Yes, they're sustainable fashion that is chic and so comfortable, which is pretty rare. I don't own a lot of flats other than sandals, but now because of Rothy's, I am a big fan. I got a bright red pair of flats from the Merino collection, and I love them. I mostly throw them on with jeans to feel polished and stylish day or night, while still being really comfortable. It's no wonder they have more than 1,000 near-perfect reviews. And for any guys listening, be sure to tell the women in your life about this. They'll all want to check out all the different amazing styles and colors at Rothys.com/newsworthy. Go to Rothys, R-O-T-H-Y-S, Rothys.com/newsworthy to get yourself what will be your new favorite flats. Rothys.com/newsworthy. Now, back to the news. The Los Angeles City Fire Department is making history. It'll be the first fire department in the U.S. to use an electric hybrid fire truck. The LA Times says the truck cost more than $1 million, which is about the same price of an aerial ladder truck, but this one looks like a city bus. The fire department says this truck will help cut down on noise and harmful diesel emissions. It can run for up to 2 hours on a full battery, though it will run on gas as well as backup. The truck is expected to hit the streets of Hollywood next year. Well, just in case you don't think there are enough emoji out there, Google is offering a few more options. TechCrunch says it's part of a new feature called Emoji Kitchen, which lets users combine two emoji to create one. For example, you can add glasses to a smiley emoji, put a cowboy hat on a ghost, or create a crying robot. To be clear, this only works for emoji and apps that Google supports. To use the option, tap on any smiley emoji, and Emoji Kitchen will show you which mashups are available. The feature is out now. Netflix wants to get more people to subscribe, so it's offering non-members a free movie. The movie is called All the Boys I've Loved Before, a Netflix original that came out in 2018, though a sequel to the movie just came out yesterday. So the idea is give non-members the original movie for free in hopes they get Netflix to watch the second movie. The Verge says Netflix used this method in the UK with The Crown, but this is the first time it's offering a free movie in the US. Getting more subscribers in the U.S. is a priority for Netflix, since subscriber growth has slowed down thanks to higher prices and rival services like Disney Plus and Apple TV Plus. Speaking of movies, Apollo 13 is making a comeback. Space.com says the movie from the 90s is hitting theaters once again in April for the 50th anniversary of the mission and the 25th anniversary of the movie. The Apollo 13 mission was in 1970 and was supposed to take astronauts to the moon. But an explosion on the spacecraft stopped the crew from making it. Luckily, the astronauts survived. Even though some of the movie is embellished, Engadget says most of it is historically accurate. Tickets are on sale now for the screenings in April at more than 600 U.S. theaters. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Thing to Know Thursday, where a different expert explains a different thing to know only on Thursdays after the news. And this week, we have a fun one for you since Valentine's Day is tomorrow. New Pew research shows online dating is on the rise. 30% of U.S. adults have used a dating app or website. But also going up are some of the reported issues. So today, we're talking about dating app trends, politics in dating, some safety concerns, and choosing the right app for you. And for couples listening, we also talk about some digital tools and tech trends to further relationships. My guest today is Damona Hoffman. She's a dating coach and media personality who starred in A&E Network's TV series Black Love and A Question of Love. She's also the host of the Dates and Mates podcast and is a contributor for several platforms from The Washington Post to Match.com. Hi, Damona. Thanks so much for coming back on The Newsworthy.
Thanks for having me back.
So we are in a new year. It's actually a new decade now. So first, what do you expect for dating trends in 2020 and beyond? Are dating apps still the place to go?
Dating apps are continuing to grow, and we look at Tinder, and they have had exponential growth in the last year. We look at the Match Group overall, and they actually just branched off from IAC into their own company because IAC feels like they have been launched and now that they're big enough that they can sustain themselves on their own. And all predictions are that people are still going to be using dating apps and they're just going to continue growing from here.
And what did we learn from 2019 when it comes to dating apps?
Tinder did a year in swipe report and looked at the behaviors of their users, which predominantly are people under 25. Gen Z really took Tinder by storm in 2019. And people are looking to match based on interests, and causes are really something that were used a lot in people's bios. There's a lot on social justice, on gun control, on the environment, on climate change. And it's showing that the next generation is thinking about all of these issues and not just thinking about a cute face.
So speaking of politics, I mean, it is an election year this year. What advice do you have for people about talking politics while dating or while in a relationship?
It's interesting, Erica. I also do a matchmaking column for the Washington Post called Date Lab. And in the Date Lab applications, I've seen a huge increase. Of course, it's in Washington, D.C., but I've seen a huge increase in people saying that they do not want to match with anyone of a different political background. And we're seeing this also on the apps. There are more people that are stating their political affiliation. There's been a huge increase in that being the primary filter. And as we get closer to November, I think we're going to see that being an even more defined line in the sand.
What are some quick tips for being smart about safety and privacy? Because that's been in the news lately as well.
Yes, safety and privacy has always been an issue for people coming to me for help with dating apps. And Tinder has actually responded to this by adding a few new features. They've added a panic button of sorts, a way for you to notify the authorities if you feel that you are in danger. Now, I say this knowing that most dates you meet online aren't looking to take advantage of you. You're not generally in danger, but there are some tips that I always tell people. Meet in a public place that you are familiar with. Always tell someone where you're going and who you're going to be with, as much information as you have on the person. Do a basic Google search and maybe a Google reverse image search to make sure that the person you're meeting actually is who they say they are. And beyond that, just keep it short and sweet and make sure that you're comfortable on the date. But speaking of the reverse image search and making sure that the person is who they say they are, they've also added on Tinder an authentication of pictures. So they have face recognition software and they have actual humans who are confirming that the person is who they say they are. And that's a feature that they've had on Bumble for a long time as well.
What about what app is right for you? And I also wanted to ask you about Facebook dating because that's now available. Has that picked up steam at all?
In my practice, I'm not seeing a huge adoption of Facebook dating. I am still waiting and seeing on that one because I do think it's a great service considering how much they know about you already. If you're looking for someone that matches you on values and interests and all of these other levels, I think it's a great shortcut. But overall, I have my clients on at least two apps at the same time. It doubles your chances of finding love. And I have people look at the matches that are there. Are you attracted to that person? Do you like what? Are you attracted to the people that are there? Do you like the layout of the site? Do you like the functionality? So many times people tell me, well, I like the people on this app, but I hate using it. If you're feeling dread around using your dating app, it's probably not the right app for you.
Okay, so for the people already in relationships, I don't want to leave them out this Valentine's Day. What are some trends or tips for couples?
I am a big fan of using apps as a tool throughout your relationship. So not just meeting on the app, but going beyond that to address the primary challenges that people face in relationships. One app that has become very popular is called Lasting, and that's counseling on demand. So look, every great relationship can use a little support and can use a third party to clarify what is happening. So Lasting is a good solution for that. One thing that a lot of couples end up arguing about is money. And Honeydew is a great app for finance and keeping everything straight and keeping the communication around money really clear. And then there's also so many apps for doing bonding activities together. I'm a big fan of at-home games and having game night. And you don't have to spend a lot of money on a date with your partner. You just have to carve out the time to be with them. One thing my husband and I love to do together is to cook. And we get these at-home meal boxes sent to us so that we can make something together, create together, and be with one another.
And you can learn more about our guest and her Dates and Mates podcast in today's show notes. And next week, we're planning to explain more about what's happening with the coronavirus. As always, you can read more about all the news stories mentioned in this episode at thenewsworthy.com/show notes. Thank you for listening. The Newsworthy is here for you by 4 in the morning every weekday. We'll be back with more news tomorrow. Have a great day.